Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4 chapter 12 verse 37 Chanta Samadusha Sudha Sarva Bhuta Anuranjana Yanti Anjasa Achuta Padam Achuta Priya Bandhava Shanta Samadrasha Sutha Sava Bhuta Anuranjana Ayan Chantas Chutapadam Achuta Priya Bandhava. Thank you. Buddha, peaceful, Samadrasha, equipoised, Sudha, cleansed, Sarva, all Buddha, living entities, Anuranjana, pleasing, Yanti, go, Anjasa, easily, Achuta, of the Lord, Padam, abode, Achuta Priya, devotees of the Lord, Bandhava, friends. Translation: persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with the devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back to Godhead. Therefore, the description of this verse fully indicates that only devotees are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. The first point stated is that devotees are peaceful, for they have no demands for their personal sense gratification. They are simply dedicated to the service of the Lord. Armies cannot be peaceful because they have immense demands for sense gratification. As for Gyanis, they cannot be peaceful because they are too busy trying to attain liberation or merge into the existence of the Supreme. Some of the yogis are also restless yet mispower. But a devotee is peaceful because he is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God and thinks of himself as completely helpless, just as a child feels complete peace in depending on the parents. So a devotee is completely peaceful, for he depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee is equipoised. He sees everyone on the same transcendental platform. A devotee knows that although a conditioned soul has a particular type of body according to its past fruitive activities, actually every one is part of the Supreme Lord. A devotee sees all living entities with spiritual vision and does not discriminate on the platform of the bodily concept of life. Such qualities develop only in the association of devotees. Without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In fact, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. Devotees are dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only dear to devotees. On this platform only can one make progress in Krishna consciousness. Persons in Krishna consciousness, devotees of the Lord, can please everyone, as is evident in the Krishna consciousness movement. We invite everyone without discrimination. We request everyone to sit and chant Hare Krishna mantra and take the Lord's prasad as we can supply, and thus everyone is pleased with us. This is the qualification. Sarvabhut Anuranjana. As for purification, no one can be more pure than devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified inside and outside. Since a devotee constantly chants Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. It is said that even a kavadar, or a person born in the family of a kavadar, can be elevated to the position of a Brahman if he takes to Krishna consciousness. Any person who is purely Krishna conscious, who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, is the purest in the whole universe. In this way, the fully Krishna conscious Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Bhutanapada, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. Therefore, the exact Sanskrit terminology for Krishna consciousness here mentioned, Krishna Parayana. Parayana means going forward. Anyone who is going forward to the goal of Krishna is called Krishna Parayana, or fully Krishna conscious. The example of Dhruva Maharaj indicates that every Krishna conscious person can expect to reach the topmost summit of all three planetary systems within the universe. A Krishna conscious person can occupy an exalted position beyond the imagination of any ambitious materialist. St. Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, descendant of Guru, as a herd of bulls circumambulates a central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universal sky unceasingly circumambulates the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed. Our body, each and every planet within the universe travels at a very high speed from a state of intention. Bhagavad Gita is understood that Even the sun travels 16,000 miles per second, and from Brahma-samhita we understand from the sloka that Chakra-esha-savita-sakala-grahanam, the sun is considered the eye, the supreme personality of Godhead, Govinda, and it also has a specific orbit within which it circles. Similarly, all the planets have their specific orbits, but altogether, all of them encircle the full star Dhruva-loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is situated at the summit of the three worlds. We can only imagine how highly elevated the actual position of the devotee is, and certainly cannot even conceive how exalted the position of the Supreme Person of Godhead. Translation: persons who are peaceful, equal poise, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can easily achieve the perfection of going back home to Godhead. So here is a description of those who are qualified for Achyuta Padam, or the place of the Supreme Lord. So it says the person is shanta, or peaceful, samadrisha, he sees things equally, he is suddha, he is pure, and sarvabhuta anuranjana, pleasing to other living entities. And Achyuta Priya Vandava, he is a friend, a dear friend of Achyuta, or they associate with friends, or they are dear to the devotees of the Lord. So this is a list of qualities, but the main quality here is, of course, that he is Achyuta Priya Vandava. He is friends, a dear friend of the Lord. He is a devotee of the Lord. Or he makes friends with the devotees of the Lord. So in this way, we have the principal quality of one qualified for the Supreme Lord. The other characteristics go along with that. If they are independent of this, that does not qualify you for the spiritual world. If you are peaceful, that doesn't mean you go to the Vaikuntha. Because they're peaceful. Because we'll see that these qualities, shanta, samadrisha, suddha, these are qualities of a jnani also, and a yogi. They're also peaceful, they control their senses, they see all living entities equally, etc. They become purified of karma and all things. So in themselves, these qualities are qualifications for liberation, not necessarily Vaikuntha. So the main element here is that they should be very devotional to the Lord, and the Lord will be very devotional towards them. So this is the main quality of a person, so that he can go to the spiritual world. Otherwise, he may be qualified for liberation. So nevertheless, bhakti includes everything. So, whatever good qualities are available in the jnani or the yogi or even the karmi, they will also manifest in the Supreme Lord in a superior way. So, of course, peacefulness is good in one aspect, is that we don't get agitated by material gunas, etc. In one sense, of course, it is not good because if we look in the spiritual world, that type of relationship with the Lord is the lowest, shanta rasa is the lowest. So it's not actually so praiseworthy. In relation to the Lord, the devotees have great attachment, so they're not shanta in that way. Nevertheless, the greatest devotees are also shanta in the sense that they're never agitated by anything in the material world. So that aspect is there. As far as, let's say, taking out the quality which a jnani also has. However, it's different from that of the jnani. The peace of the devotee is because of his relationship with the Lord. He experiences great bliss in serving the Lord. Therefore, nothing in the material world can attract him. the jnani or the yogi is peaceful because he has stopped the functions of the senses. That's all. So nothing is happening. The material ahankara and all these things don't operate. So therefore he's peaceful for that reason. So it's due to getting rid of his gross and subtle bodies or attachment to them that the jnani and the yogi become peaceful. The reason that the devotee becomes peaceful is because he is completely attached to the Supreme Lord. All functions of all the senses, etc., are dedicated to the Supreme Lord only. And so that is the difference between the peace of the jnani and the peace of the devotee. So then the jnanis are sama and rik, just as the scribe in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the person is samadarshana. He sees the elephant and the dog, and the dog eater and the brahmana as the same. He sees them equally. How does the jnani see them equally? Because it's all maya anyway. It's only forms, external forms. Ultimately everything is Brahman. So that's how the jnani sees. The yogi will see everything as Paramatma. Paramatma and everything, and all these bodies are also useless. So in that way, samadarsha. So the devotee does not see samadarsha in the same way. The devotee sees all living entities as servants of the Lord. This is the vision in prema, at least. One who is in Uttamadikari, in prema, he sees all living entities somehow engaged in the Lord's service, whether it is the asuras or the devotees or the neutral people. By the will of the Lord, somehow they are serving directly or indirectly the Lord's purposes. This is a vision from the point of view of prema. Sama in this way. So it is a little bit different vision, the devotion. And Sudha, the jnanis purify themselves of karma and desire and ahankara. Similarly, the yogis do so. They become purified also. This is their goal. The devotees, the goal is not so much purification as simply service to the Lord. And when that service to the Lord becomes complete, nothing else is there. So their purity is simply complete dedication to the Lord. And there's no opportunity for anything. So instead of removing these different obstacles like ahankara, desire, etc., the devotee is filled up with dedication to Krishna. Automatically nothing else could be there. So his method of purification is a little different from that of the jnani and the yogi. So his purity is not simply to get rid of things, but to develop devotion. So instead of simply being pure, the devotee has Sudha Bhakti or Sudha Prema. His prema is uncontaminated by any other desires. The jnani and the yogi are pure in the sense that they have no material desires anymore. That's it. But the devotee has pure prema without material desires. So his purity again is a little different from that of the jnani and the yogi. And sarva-bhuta anuranjana is pleasing to all living entities. This characteristic, of course, is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, Jagat-trinam. It's pleasing to everyone in the universe. He holds everybody in the universe as dear to him also. So these qualities are considered to be important qualities of the devotee. That is, he has compassion for all living entities. and all living entities are attracted to the devotee because he has good qualities. All develop all good qualities. So that is in relation to the devotee, because he is a devotee, all wonderful qualities develop in him and everyone is attracted to him. And the devotee shows compassion for all living entities in trying to engage them in devotional service. For the Gyani and the Yogi, how are they attractive to all living entities? This is not so much prominent because they do not show great compassion or anything else, because this is a cause of bondage. So more or less, this quality is not very evident in the Gyani and the Yogi. If we take the Karmi, however, in Karma Yoga, one has to practice charity, etc. So in this sense, one shows compassion to all living entities by doing material activities for them. So the difference, of course, is with the devotee, his compassion is to engage everyone in Krishna's service, not simply to give them food or education, etc. So that's the difference there. The Karmi can only develop these other qualities, the Shanta, Samadrik, and Sudha, when he comes to Satguruan and he practices Nishkama Karma Yoga. If he practices Sakama Karma Yoga, then he does not even reach these qualities. So as we know, the qualities of Satguruan are not spiritual, they are also material. So they are also a cause of bondage to be attached to peacefulness and purity and what in Satguruan. That is also a cause of bondage. So these qualities manifested in the devotee are, of course, not a cause of bondage. They are beyond the material world. So though the devotee manifests qualities and they look similar to the Gyani's qualities and the Karmi's qualities, actually they are not. The qualities manifested by the Karmi are maybe Sattva-guna, and even the qualities of the Gyani may be Sattva-guna, but qualities of the devotee are not Sattva-guna. They are Nirguna. They are part of Bhakti itself. So they're all dependent upon devotion to the Lord, all those qualities. They have nothing to do with the gunas of the material world. So therefore, they may be similar to the qualities of the Gyani and the Yogi, but actually they are different, completely different, because they're only manifestations of Bhakti, all those qualities. That is the difference of the devotee from the others, though the qualities may look alike. So therefore, one who is qualified with devotion, complete devotion to the Lord, he will manifest his other qualities, and this person, when that devotion to the Lord is 100%, then he is qualified to go to the Supreme Lord, to the Padam, and that is his position. Raganuga, one can do Raganuga by mercy of a Raganuga Bhakta. It's also a sadhana. It is not even a bhava. It's also a sadhana to attain bhava. Or one can do a mixture of the two, Raghunuga and Vaidhi Bhakti together. Strictly speaking, Vaidhi Bhakti will be something like what the Sri Sampradaya practices. So our Vaidhi Bhakti is not exactly real Vaidhi Bhakti in that sense. It's a mixture. Because Krishna is our goal, and the rules are not so enforced in such a strict way as in those other sampradayas. So the rules that we apply are much different from the rules that they apply in their bhakti. So even our Vaidhi bhakti is not pure Vaidhi, is some Raghunuga within that already.